This is the EWN Podcast Network.
As soon as the drywall is installed in our new house, it is time to design the interior of our closets. Closet design is like finding how all the pieces of a puzzle come together. Today, Connie Reagan from Inspired Closets is here to help us learn where to start and how to get the most bang for our bucks.
Welcome to From Disaster to Dream Home, the podcast that takes you inside the home building and rebuilding process. When interior designer Jana Rosenblatt had an 80-foot tree fall on her house, she saw the opportunity to create the customized home of her dreams. From Disaster to Dream Home provides you with the information and resources Jana wished she had during her rebuilding process. Now she's sharing with you the expertise of leading architects and home builders and the newest products and materials on the market. Here's your host, Jana Rosenblatt.
Welcome back, home builders and remodelers, to another episode of From Disaster to Dream Home, the podcast that will take you through the process of building or rebuilding a new home from the ground up in 52 episodes. If you are rebuilding after the loss of your home or building a new home from the ground up, each episode of From Disaster to Dream Home will help you know what you and your design team will need to do next every step of the way, so your dream home can rise from the ashes. At this point in our new home build, we are closing the interior walls with drywall. This is when we can first get an accurate measurement of each of the interior spaces, especially important for our closets, pantries, and organizational infrastructure inside our homes and in our garages. Our guest today, Connie Reagan, is a designer with Inspired Closets, which is a California-based custom closet company. At Inspired Closets, as with most closet companies, the first visit, as well as the design process, is free. The design is rolled into the ultimate cost of the built-ins and installation. But don't stop there. Once it is designed, having the closet company fabricate and install is well worth the investment. This is the opportunity to improve all of the organizational disasters of your old home, as a closet company will have a perfect solution for every need. A well-designed closet is as necessary, luxury, and a gift that keeps on giving as you make yourself at home in your new house. Connie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Jana. This is such a fun
pleasure. I know, it's really cool. First, can you tell us what inspired you to get into closet design?
Inspired me, yes. Uh-huh. I think I've been inspired most of my life. I'm actually very organized. And I went to the Fashion Institute. I love design. I love people. And it kind of fell in my lap. I was working in a furniture store. And one of my friends, she went off to do kitchen design. And I thought, oh, I'll get into closet design. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it started.
That's amazing. We've been working together for many years. How long have you been doing closet design?
On and off for about 35 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Companies.
Yeah, that's
so,
a long time.
A lot of experience.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of closet companies out there. What sets Inspired Closets apart from the other design firms?
Well, since I've worked for many of the other
companies, right?
I started with a company called Closet World. Most people have seen their flyers and know of them. I've worked for Garage Envy. I've worked for California Closets.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been with this company, Inspired Closets, for 6 years now. And it was very important for me to find a company that had the installation team that were employees, not subcontractors.
Right. That's great. Yeah.
I've had clients call me and say the guys didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
I know warranty is a big issue as well, as far as materials too, and making sure that things are going to last. I've seen some failings of drawer glides being plastic. They just fall apart.
So ultimately, it's the quality and the staff. Yeah, your installers are great. I mean, I request the same guys when I can, but they do seem like they're invested, which is wonderful. And for me, my salesperson is everything. As an interior designer, I represent my clients' needs, and I like to work with someone like yourself who will listen to all of the client's wants, listen to my thoughts about it, and then meld our ideas into your vast experience to come up with the best designs. What's the difference for you between working directly with the client versus working with their interior designer?
I love working with both. Mm-hmm. So if sometimes the client is not in the States, so the designer kind of knows all of their needs and wants. I like working with the designers because they kind of have that design background and idea and understanding of space and planning. But also I think the client's needs are really important as well. Mm-hmm. Listening to, do they want jewelry trays? Do they want glass drawers or doors and drawers for their undergarments? So
yeah, now, so as you know, for the purpose of our podcast, we're building a new home from the ground up with clients who have lost everything they owned and will be rebuilding their wardrobes as well as their lives and putting them all into their closets. With that client in mind, let's talk about the design process. You have a spectacular showroom. Is it best to start there, or do you have your client visit after you've met in the home and begun the design?
Either way, but I do like to meet at the home first. And I recently just met with a client that had a fire in the house and everything was empty. And she kind of had a layout of the closet, so I kind of had an idea, but she had lost everything.
Yeah.
I was able to get somewhat of an idea of her measurements for her clothes and shoes and purses and things like that because of the layout of the closet. And then we're meeting again at the showroom. That way I have the measurement. I could create the design, then meet in the showroom. The design is already set. Mm-hmm. They could see all of the details of materials. Mm-hmm. And then we can make any changes and then go over pricing as well.
So if the client comes to the showroom early in their design process, can they get an idea of what certain things cost? Is there pricing available when you kind of walk through the showroom?
Yes, we have all of our vignettes are priced out. Okay. We also, in our lookbooks, we are the only company out there that really gives a range. So people have a pretty good idea what this might cost. And that's a big question they always ask. What is this going to run?
Yeah, it's an important bottom line. Very important. Can you walk us through the typical process of designing a closet for a new home build? What are some of the key considerations when designing a closet from scratch? Nothing's there.
I could work off architectural designs if the walls aren't up yet. Mm-hmm. If there is framing, I could measure from the framing, kind of guesstimating what the drywall might be, ideally.
So that will give it kind of an idea of the cost.
We could get an overall design and idea of the cost. And then once drywall goes up and everything is mudded and ready, then we get final measurements before we order materials.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So to talk a little bit more about the budget line items, you know, with a rebuilding project, the builder may not have included more than a very basic dollar amount for the closet buildouts. They use an algorithm. I don't know where it comes from. Mars, I think. How soon in the conversation do you need to get an idea of the available budget?
It's good in the beginning because a lot of factors come in when you're designing a closet, from color to door styles. Do we take everything to the floor? Do we add molding, crown molding? Lighting would add to the cost. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of variations. And I sometimes will design in three different ways. Uh-huh. One, a very basic, one kind of a middle, and one are like a higher end. Uh-huh. That way it's up to the client to decide which one they like.
But you'd rather know what the line, like what they have to work with. Sometimes people don't know and they're not going to have an idea. But if they do have an idea, should you want to know what that is?
Sure, because then I know where I can tweak the design because function to me is important, but so is the aesthetics. And especially if somebody has a lot of handbags that are valuable, they're going to want to put those behind glass. And then if they want lighting, you know, and that's important to them. So these
I'm smiling at you because I just did a client whose closets we had done 10 years ago when we designed, I didn't even know you then, when we designed their renovation of their house, and they no longer need this home office space. So we made it into a kind of she shed room where we have now changed all the shelving is now to display her purses and things like that. It's really kind of fun when you can do that.
Yeah.
So what are some of the specific factors that influence the cost of a custom closet?
Good question. Color is
interesting.
Is important because we do have a range of color variations. White is the beginning price. And then we can add different colors. I love playing with color.
Yeah.
It's so fun. Door and drawer style also would add a little bit of cost. Adding glass doors, lighting, so and moldings. So there's some factors. Mm-hmm. That's why I think coming to the showroom and being able to see that, then people can have that decision or choice.
Yeah.
And we have a great program that we can change it on the spot. And then we can kind of look at what that's going to cost.
So if you do find that you have a client with a somewhat limited budget, what are the specific things that you can do to stay within their budget while achieving a high quality closet design?
We can do a wall hung version. We put a rail up and then the verticals are attached onto the rail and it comes up off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So less material, less cost.
So there's no full backing.
We wouldn't need to add backing is an option in some cases.
Right.
It does add to the cost. And so we could reduce the cost by taking that backing off. Sometimes backing is necessary if we have uneven walls or structurally. Our garage cabinets all have a full 3/4 inch backing, which gives a lot of stability and strength to that cabinet. So you could weigh it down with heavier items that are in the garage.
So with a closet design in an existing home, you can often go in and literally count the amount of shoes and measure how much long hang versus short hang and really see all of the things that a client needs. In this case, the client needs to think back to remember what their needs have been in the past. How might you approach this kind of sensitive issue?
Because I've been doing this for so long by talking and asking a lot of questions, I can kind of get an idea of their lifestyle. I know an adult needs about 110 inches of minimum of hanging.
Mm-hmm.
That's not always the case with sometimes there's a real small closet in the home and there's nowhere else to build out.
Mm-hmm.
Shoes, I kind of ask, are you with COVID hitting? Some people aren't going to work anymore. So the men are wearing ties.
Yeah.
You know, so I think a lot of questions, I am focused on question-based selling.
Uh-huh.
And asking those learning questions.
Learning what they can tell you.
Sure. Using my tape measure, putting it out there and saying, does this look like enough hanging to you?
Mm-hmm. And so then how do you balance the aesthetics and functionality with your designs?
And again, it just depends on what that client is looking for. If they want a big boutique closet that's beautiful with lighting and glass and that client, you know, they're going to be willing to spend probably a little bit more to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
I do have clients that maybe their budget is $10,000 and we're at about $12,000 with everything they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they're willing to stretch a little bit
because
this is something that you're not going to be doing every other year or every 5 years.
No, it's an installation that's going to last your life in the house.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's interesting. So, is there a way to be able to do some things in stages if you do have a kind of, you know, Hollywood dream of, you know, like you're stepping into a beautiful boutique with the lights and the bells and the whistles? Can you do things and then add to them later?
I love doing that.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I'm doing that in my own home right now.
Oh, you are?
I am. I did construction about 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I got the basics set up and then I kind of wanted to get set in and settled.
Yeah.
I'm just adding some floating shelves to my office.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to kind of get things set up. So I do that with my clients.
Mm-hmm.
Let them kind of get things.
Actually, you're doing that with one of my clients right now.
Yes.
A couple have just joined together in a new home for the first time. So they don't really know fully what each of their needs are.
Right.
And they've created this wonderful full room to put the closet into off of the primary bathroom, which was completely gutted and renovated. And so what we've done is you designed the whole plan and then created the perimeter of all of the closet installation that they really need to function first. But then they know that they're going to put in an island in time and do a few other things. And then down the line, they have some, you created some designs for their first floor family room built-ins and things like that, that they'll be able to kind of do in chunks because they know what the costs are now that Correct. You've designed everything. Correct. Yeah, now that's a really great way to do it. Right. So what are the other areas of the home where a closet company can be beneficial?
We do pretty much everything but kitchen and bath. Uh-huh. I love doing laundry rooms.
Uh-huh.
However, our materials aren't good for water. That's where the kitchen and bath comes in,
uh-huh.
using plywood
uh-huh.
when there's water.
Right.
We have a core that is built with scraps from a mill,
right.
a Canadian pine, and right. then they glue it together.
Right.
So
which is perfectly strong and really yes. good for the use in a closet.
Yes.
But exposed to water or moisture in the air would not be as good
Correct.
Long term.
So I yeah. just had that client, she wanted to do laundry and there was a sink. And I said, you might want to get someone who does kitchen or bath to do that and mm-hmm. have it cohesive with
yeah.
the sink base, because we don't do the plywood sink base. And I think that's important because I don't want somebody in a few years coming back
yeah.
with damage
mm-hmm.
and just being knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm. Really but important. A laundry room that doesn't have a work sink
Correct.
Isn't a problem
Nope.
because the machines are, you know, intact.
Correct.
Yeah. And so then garages, what do you do
garages,
with garages?
Same thing. We could do everything but the sink base. Sometimes
uh-huh.
they'll get a stand-up sink base.
Right, right.
We used to do sinks where you could do a, you know what a undermount sink is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm finding is the material that we put over the sink, if it gets wet, it's mm-hmm. been coming apart. So it's better to either do a wood. Would mm-hmm. you do butcher block? Or the clay?
Oh, that's fun.
Stone.
Yeah, that's fun. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that was, the next question on that regard is you could put in the base and get it all ready, and then they could do a stone
Correct.
Countertop.
Yes.
The stone cutter in the house could
Correct.
Could help out.
Yep.
Okay. And so then what about pantries? They're one of my favorite rooms.
So much fun.
I know, yes. right? So yes. what are the bells and whistles that you like in pantries?
Doing the corner shelves.
Yeah.
Having pullouts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We do the tray dividers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think from my experience of going into so many homes and the installations, and then I always ask my clients afterwards, like, what would we have done different? And what I found is in the pantry, sometimes you want cleaning supplies there.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
not. Creating maybe a broom closet.
Yeah.
We do mm-hmm. have a great slat wall material that you can put books.
Oh.
So it makes it so you can put your brooms, mops.
You just sold yourself
supplies.
Another job.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. I'm thinking about right now, I'm doing a garage and it's now segueing into the family room where they have this closet that used to be where the water heater was, but it's not there anymore. So it's this nice deep closet. We want to make it into a broom closet. Right. So yeah, you will take a look at that project
That's right.
with me. That's great.
Vacuums.
Yeah.
And then I look at, like, if it's a electrical,
uh-huh.
where we need electrical outlets.
Right.
Sometimes they want to plug in their Dyson.
Yeah.
So you need to have an electrical outlet. In
yeah. And even in a pantry, they can have some appliances that are plugged in.
Many people are putting coffee makers,
yeah.
toaster mm-hmm. ovens,
yeah.
and having a counter space. So that way the coffee makers aren't cluttering their kitchen counters.
Yeah.
They're into the pantries. And so that's where it comes into making sure working with an electrician to put the outlets mm-hmm. in the right spot.
Very good. Sounds lovely. I love a good pantry.
Oh, yeah.
Now, built-ins for kids' rooms and desks and home offices, what are you doing in that regard?
Fascinating. It's a lot of fun. And so, again, just listening to the client's needs. Do they need, most people are digital now, but some people like myself, I still keep paper files. I want to know, do we have to put a file cabinet in there? How are you going to use the space? How much space do you need? There's some rules about sitting. You don't want to get too tight in there with your chair. Drawers, pencil drawers, computer usage. And again, then it gets back to the electrical. We don't want to miss that. Where do you put your plugs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And then built-ins for family rooms and media rooms. Are you doing sort of entertainment center areas?
Done many. We could do floating entertainment centers.
Oh, nice.
We could do floating shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Bookshelves, kids rooms.
Yeah, kids rooms are fun.
And I think because I have such a good organizational background
uh-huh.
is really finding out, and it depends on how old the kids are. If they're young,
yeah.
they're going to need a space to put all their toys.
Mm-hmm.
Mom doesn't want to see all that clutter.
No.
So whether we do baskets mm-hmm. or doors
uh-huh.
with some baskets behind them. And so I think it is going back to listening to the client's needs
mm-hmm.
and the aesthetics.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other pockets of space in the home that you can do closet company work in?
We do Murphy beds.
Oh, that's a great thing to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So that's wall beds.
Wall beds.
Mm-hmm.
They're very popular.
Yeah.
I think when COVID hit, more and more people are having family members come to their home rather than.
Yeah, my nephew moved in and didn't leave.
That's it.
It was wonderful.
Yes. Murphy beds. And then we can add on the sides of them storage for either clothing or drawers, bookshelves, and office conversion from, you know, guest room to office. That's a great option. So mm-hmm. you're not having this bed in your room the whole time.
Right.
Folds up.
Right. Which is great.
Entry areas. I find mm-hmm. that
like a mud room. Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Storage, whether it be for coats, hats, purses, mm-hmm. dog leashes, shoes. A lot of people don't like to wear their shoes in the home. So where are they going to put them?
Right.
Whether it be in the garage at the entry area or mm-hmm. in the home inside the doorway.
Mm, that's cool. Mm-hmm. So then how do you handle revisions and changes during the design process?
Yeah, so they can revise up until the draft. When we do a bigger project or it's a little more detailed, I'm so lucky because our install manager, Dino, has been with us a long time. And he will come and remeasure and draft just to make sure sometimes there's obstacles, whether you have fans or pipes and things like that. So he's just my double check. And so once the draft is set and done, we can't revise anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's usually within a couple of weeks of them making a commitment to move mm-hmm. forward. We do get the installation date at that time and then do the draft and then we send it into production.
Mm-hmm. And is the draft what the final sign off? When do the clients sign?
They would make a sign off when they decide to move forward
okay,
with the project.
Got it.
At the draft, in case there's any design changes that cost money or changes in the design, then I would send them a new signature.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because I wouldn't want to make any decisions.
Right. You want to make sure it was their decision.
Right. Yeah. And I always review it with the client, whether it be in person or Zoom, to go over any of those changes.
All right. So then once the design is complete and the order is placed, what is the timeline? What can people expect?
We're about 6 to 8 weeks out from the time that they make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
There's some factors. Our manufacturing facility is in Holland, Michigan. It's a huge facility. I have been there. And,
oh, wow. That's fun.
It's really great. They then ship it to us and we have a big warehouse. We unpalletize everything, make sure there's no damage to the materials and that everything's correct. Sometimes we move it up. I've seen things go in 4 weeks.
Oh, wow. That's pretty amazing,
but
considering it's not made locally.
Right. And then the 8 weeks gives us enough time just in case there is any reordering that we need to do, because we don't want to give someone an install date and then have to bump it back.
Right.
So I'd rather give them a little leeway. And then if something's open and available and the client's open,
you can always make it faster. Up. Yeah.
And usually a smaller project's easier to move up mm-hmm. than a big project.
Right. You need
the time frame.
People available. What are some of the range of materials that our closets can be made of?
So what we use is an engineered fiberboard. It's made from a repurposed Canadian mill that does a long grain Canadian pine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our core. And it's important because some of the companies, you look at those cores and it's a lot of air gaps, which doesn't make it very strong. And mm-hmm. it's less expensive to produce. We're also CARB 2 compliant for the state of California with the off-gassing. And then the outside is a laminate. It's very durable. It's heat baked, thermally fused. So it's not going to chip and peel.
Right.
And some of the doors are a vinyl, which are a little bit softer.
Mm-hmm.
But I always show my clients with the key, I take a key to it and do like a scratch test.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the other companies won't do it because most of them use a malamine.
Uh-huh.
Ours is a laminate.
Oh, okay, good. That's great distinction and something people can look for in whatever area they're in. To make sure that they're, as a stronger product. And then what are the range of the looks that you can achieve? Because you can create looks that look like wood, and then also, some pops of color. And then of course, there's always the clean cottagey white.
Right. We have so many different colors to choose from, and we could even mix them and have fun with it. But we do have some wood grain looks that kind of look like a wood,
mm-hmm.
but yet are more durable than say a wood solid cabinet.
Mm-hmm. And then, and how do the difference in the materials, the look of the material, affect the price? Are some, you know, much less expensive than others?
Good question. Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
We have four colors right now that are like a wood grain color that are 30% more than white.
Uh-huh.
Some of them are only 20% more than white. And then white is our starting price point. And then we have something that's a little bit off white that we can use. And I love like doing the guts of it in a solid color and maybe highlighting some of the countertops, the drawer faces.
Yeah. Or contrasting.
Contrasting. And that's what working with the designer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always ask my clients, you know, especially with a new build, I usually have them bring a sample of their flooring or paints and as much information as I could get of their color design. And I love the color process. It's so much fun.
Yeah. And what are the most popular customization options that your clients are asking for? I mean, there are so many things that you can include. I don't know how you even cover them all.
I like keeping things timeless. Colors, you know, the big trend right now is navy with brass.
Yeah.
We do have a beautiful vignette in our showroom with navy and brass.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. The women are drawn towards lighter colors, I find, and men seem to be drawn towards those darker colors.
Uh-huh.
But then we have to be careful of the space. If it's a very small closet and you put a dark color in there, it may just look too cavey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so those are some considerations as well that I walk the client through, different options and color combinations.
And then what about the interior bells and whistles, the things, you know, that lighting, you know, the light up toe kicks and the lighting and, you know, above and lighting in areas and glass panels and jewelry and things like that. What are some of the most popular customizations in terms of bells and whistles?
For sure, the jewelry trays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's, unfortunately, with burglaries and robberies, if they're putting their jewelry in there, we can put a lock, but usually it's for guests coming over or housekeeping kind of situations. But the jewelry trays are great. We have those. We have an ironing board pullout.
Oh, that's
which
fun.
Is fabulous. We have pullout mirrors, full-length mirrors that we can add, ballet rods, scarf racks, tie-in belt racks that we can add. Yes, lighting is fabulous. We have puck lighting. We have LED lighting that's dimmable. Glass, we could do either frosted or clear glass. We have beautiful shoe shrines that have either glass shelves or metal shelves.
I just love the term shoe shrine.
Yeah.
Who created that term?
I don't know.
Is that by that you mean like shoe storage?
Shoe storage.
Yes. Well, we all need.
Yes.
We all need shoe storage.
And then lighting up your stuff, like the handbags that you want to show off or your shoes.
Yeah.
We have shoe fences, a lot of different accessories that we can add.
Can you share an example of some of the most unique or challenging closet designs you've worked on? What comes to mind?
You know, I think everybody wants a, or not everybody, but a lot of clients would like to have an island in their closet.
Yes.
Well, I think the design process is great. We also have what's called augmented reality that our dealership is the first testing. So I've got to be careful like advertising it because we are throughout the United States and not all the other dealerships are using augmented reality right now, but it's a great program for me. I do a lot of that. They convert it so clients could put on the goggles and walk through the space to really get an idea of the feel.
So it's a virtual imaging.
It's a virtual imaging.
Got it.
Yeah. That, and it's eventually.
And do people want to see? Do they want that feature?
Yes. Yeah. And when it's a more complicated design, and what I find myself, I find maybe design errors of the door should open to the left rather than the right.
Mm-hmm.
Or I didn't overhang the countertop enough that I should.
Uh-huh.
It gives the client a really good idea of the space.
Sense of space.
The sense of space.
Because, well, especially with a new home build, that could be amazing.
Oh, yeah. Because sometimes you don't have that space to walk through.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think and giving them options. A built-in island may not be an option where maybe a little poofy bench or a pull-up bench that they can have storage in might be better where they can move it around. Because you do need to have clearance to walk.
Yeah, you do. That leads us right into what are some of the common mistakes that homeowners make when designing their closets, and how can you help avoid them?
So people don't understand. They may want a lot of hanging, yeah. where I don't encourage hanging into hanging. Like a lot of the builders, they just put those
right.
rods
they're
up
just
and they're hanging
a lot of
into hanging.
Yeah, right.
And trying to get back into those corners, almost impossible. It's just not functional. And so those are some things I usually will do, hanging with shelves on the side or drawers, and it just makes it function a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. And then what about a smaller closet? What are some of the tips and tricks that you might employ if the closet isn't a beautiful walk-in closet? It's just or it's half the size of a good walk-in closet. What is some of your favorite tricks?
Here's what I found. We all have too much stuff.
Really?
We all have
That's
too much
shocking,
stuff.
Shocking, honey. I'm shocked.
You'd be amazed what I see.
Yeah, I bet.
And I have to live by this rule myself.
Yeah.
When I design in a smaller space, we all need to have a little bit of long hang, uh-huh. jackets, coats, robes, double hang,
yeah.
or some hanging for regular clothing. And you've got shoes. If you're putting them in the closet, if they're not, that's even better. They can use the shelves or drawers. And I use this rule that if you buy something new, mm-hmm. you have to get rid of something
yeah,
old.
You know, Oprah says that.
I love
that's
that.
That's Oprah's closet trick. Yep. Every
that's
time
right,
someone, something comes in, something has to go out. And you know what? I've been doing it myself. It's kind of a fun thing. You have to force yourself to find the thing you can lose.
But I think what it does, it prevents us from overspending and overbuying.
Yeah.
If we have that mindset.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
When I'm shopping, I really have to think of what do I need to get rid of?
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the best reasons to hire a closet company, a closet design company like yours?
I think because we understand, like I talked about, the rules of the design and the space planning. We kind of have an idea. I think also cost-wise, we're not that much more expensive than if you went to Home Depot or Lowe's and got materials. Mm. But I think the quality with our company is much better.
Yeah.
I've gone into homes where they've had the cabinet builder, you know, get materials from Home Depot, Lowe's, or one of those companies. And the quality, it just starts falling apart after a few years. So you're really spending more in the long run than going cheap in mm-hmm. the beginning and then having to replace it as it's either falling apart, degrading.
Yeah. And for me, the additional comment that I'd make to that question is that it's the thinking. I mean, like with everything else, you think about closets and pantries and garages and organizational spaces every day, and you really know how to make the system work to its maximum benefit, especially corners. I mean, that's the biggest yeah. mistake people make when they don't have the experience level. Mm-hmm. And you know, those amounts of storage are important. Anything you lose, you know, is really something. But, you know, when you were saying a minute ago about we all have too much stuff, do you ever tell someone that they need to clean out first? They need to clear out? This would be obviously
that's
renovation
that's a hard subject.
Yeah. As an interior designer, I can tell them.
I usually go, and I say myself, I say, you know, I just went through construction myself. I've done six uh-huh. clean outs. The first part of the clean out, you have to yeah. empty the space, especially. Well, you're doing new construction, yeah. so there's nothing in there. But for a client that might already have an existing closet,
right.
they've
yeah.
got to get all those rods and shelves out. We mm-hmm. do offer garment racks.
Oh, wow. That's
something
great.
That they could use during that time.
Uh-huh.
And that way, too, they could go through that first clean out.
Yeah.
And if they haven't, and that's a question I usually ask, when was the last time you cleaned out?
Yeah.
And if it's been
yeah.
quite a few oh, years.
How politically correct are you?
I know they're going to be getting rid of probably 20 to 30% of that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
The next clean out might be when they go to put things back
in. Right.
And if it's crammed, you can't really see what you have. And most of those things we're not using anyway.
Uh-huh.
And I explain it in my terms of this is what my process
right.
was.
Yeah, that's a
because
good way
I don't
to do
want
it.
To offend anybody.
Right.
I do go into situations sometimes when people are, whether it be a hoarder situation
right.
or people just have way too much stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one thing when you need therapy. It's another thing.
It is.
You need a closet company.
And I kind of joke and I say, I can work miracles, but I can only work so many miracles
yeah.
here.
Got it.
Part of it is going to be on your part with the client
yeah.
to also go through the cleaning out of the process.
And what is the most rewarding part of your job?
I love afterwards going to the, I always follow up with my clients. I go to the installations. I work really closely with my team from our office. I also have a design specialist that helps me that before we order, she reviews everything. So we actually have myself, then my install manager and Barbara who checks our designs. And it's a wonderful process. And then I go to the clients afterwards and I see the joy.
Yeah.
I've had clients say, oh my God, Connie, you've changed my life.
I'm get
so
it.
Happy, less stress. You know, and then I always ask them, what will we have done different? Because I've learned from my mistakes. I really want to go through the process of making sure that everything is exactly perfect. Because I don't want the regret.
There are small changes that can be made. I know with closets you've done for me, when a client has thought they need a little more of one thing than another, we've gone in and been able to maybe change a hanging area to a shelf area and things like that. So so the continuing conversation is valuable. And you know, it doesn't cost a lot necessarily once the bulk is done to make a small change
or two. And I don't like to put too many shelves or not enough shelves.
Right.
And it is adjustable. A lot of the pieces could be adjusted. I help people with that, moving things around so that we could utilize that space a little better or adding a few shelves.
Cool. Yep. And then can you describe, I know you're working on your own. Can you describe your ideal closet and what features it would include?
Oh my gosh.
If money was no object.
You know, I love taking rooms.
Yes.
And turning them into like that boutique closet.
I know,
me too. I did a project in Thousand Oaks with this client and it was, her and her husband both were so happy. There were a lot of needs and wants. He did not want a big island in the middle for the walk space. And she wanted a vanity and she had another closet. We did some built-ins in that room. Some drawer bases. We customized the colors. It was so much fun. And I would say that probably the taking the rooms and converting them to a closet is the most fun.
Yeah, it is fun. It's the most, you know, abstract. And I'll go back to the puzzle analogy from the beginning. It's really, you know, you can really create a magic. And is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners about closet design and your company?
You know, I selected Inspired Closets kind of almost, I found them by accident as I was getting back into the closet industry a little over 6 years ago. They showed up on my Facebook feed and I'd never heard of Inspired Closets before because I'd worked for so many of the companies. And what was important for me was going, having a showroom. I wanted to see, look and feel, having the installers as employees, not subcontractors. And knowing that I had a team behind me that would support me. And so, you know, I as we talked a little bit earlier about retiring and getting up there in age, I just can't imagine not doing this as a lifelong kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So I'm just so happy to be able to help people get better organized and then love their space.
Yeah. That's a lovely ending thought. So I hope that we've inspired you today to look at the design of your organizational infrastructure early to get ideas of what you might want to include. Look at the budget line item your builder has included for the interior of your closets and determine if this amount will meet your needs and wants. Then work with a professional to customize your spaces so that you achieve the most value for the investment. I consider a great closet design an essential and affordable luxury. Connie, what's the best way for clients and listeners to reach out to you?
They could email me at cragan@inspiredclosets.com or my cell number is 818-730-4685. And if you do call into Inspired Closets, just be sure to ask for Connie. I am actually the second longest employee of the company. And if you look at the Yelp reviews, I am very Yelped out there.
You're...
And so you want to be sure to get an experienced designer.
Okay, that sounds great. And we will put your email on our web link on our website. So if you want some more information, you can also go to www.fromdisastertodreamhome.com. where you can find all of our previous episodes and photos of each step of the construction process. Jana Design Interiors is a full-service interior design firm working with commercial and residential clients. If you're thinking about a company move or a major home renovation, or you are building after the loss of your home and you are in the Southern California area, please reach out to Jana at janadesigninteriors.com.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of From Disaster to Dream Home, the podcast that takes you inside the home building and rebuilding process. Each week, we bring you time-tested practices and the latest trends through conversations with top professionals in the building industry. You can find other episodes of From Disaster to Dream Home at ewnpodcastnetwork.com, as well as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, and most other major podcast streaming services. Need design help? You can contact us or find out more about our guests at FromDisasterToDreamHome.com. Until next time, let us guide and inspire you as you create the home of your dreams.